You'll find the scripture reading, Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow in your presence to thank you for this day, for the mercies of it, for thy mercies are new every morning. I pray, Lord, that you'll forgive me, cleanse me of every sin, every thought, every action, every attitude, whatever and anything in me that is unchristlike and unbecoming as a child of God, I pray that you'll cleanse me of it. Thank you, Lord, for this meeting. Thank you for every man of God that has stood in this place and preached the Word to us. I pray for Brother Milby as he shall come. Thank you so much for him. Pray that you give him physical strength and spiritual anointing. I pray that you give us hearts to respond, ears to hear. Lord, we pray tonight, should there be any among us that are strangers to the grace of God, that have never been to Calvary by faith, may this be the hour they lay down their arms of rebellion to find mercy and grace with the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these that are here tonight. Thank you so much for this church, for their faithfulness to you through these years. Thank you for all their labor, for all their sacrifice in having this meeting. Thank you for this dear pastor, this dear man of God. And Lord, how we rejoice that you placed him here and put your anointing and your power on him. And I pray, God, that you'll continue to give him direction as he leads this camp meeting. Thank you for the wisdom and the discernment that you've given him. I pray for every man of God that's here, every church that is represented. I pray that you'll bless them in their respective places of service. When we leave tonight, may we be aware that God has spoken to us and that God has said something to our hearts. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed, blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. I want to speak to you as we look at these three verses, Psalm chapter 40, about a new song. God is the only one that can put a joyful song in your heart. Job 38:7 says that the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy at the creation of this world. I was looking at that beautiful moon coming to church tonight. As a matter of fact, I nearly run off the road looking at it. I was thinking how wonderful and great our God is. And no wonder the sons of God shouted for joy when they saw all of God's creation, the stars, the moon, the sun, and everything that God had created. When God brought His people out of the land of bondage and delivered them from Egypt, the first example of song, the first song recorded in the Bible, is when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, and the armies of Pharaoh were drowned. Then on the other side of the Red Sea, the Israelites sang, and you find they're rejoicing in God's deliverance. One day the Bible says, we're not only going to sing the song of Moses, Revelation 15:3, and they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, thou King of saints. The man that has been delivered from the pit has a new song on his lips. He has a new prayer in his heart. He has a new purpose in his life. He has a bright prospect of eternity in his soul. This is the story of a man. The man who was David in all probability, who talks about being delivered from the pit. He talks about what God did for him It delivered him from the pit. And everyone that God has saved has received a song in their heart. He is rejoicing that he became a singer. But before he became a singer, he became a prayer. Now, a person cannot have a song of praise in his heart unless he has experienced repentance and spared salvation by grace through faith. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. That's where God finds His singers. He found His choir in the mire. His singers were once sinkers, but they have been redeemed, washed by the blood of Calvary's Lamb. They have a song in their heart that they could not sing before, and one that the world cannot sing. Robert Robbins, to that great Scottish hymn writer, wrote a song, "Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love." If God has saved you, there's a song of praise in your heart to God. This is a song of deliverance. "And inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit." Now, whatever the historical occasion of this psalm may be, and it is a testimony of what happened in the life of every sinner saved by grace. "I waited patiently for the Lord." That waiting is an intense longing. It is a desire to be delivered from the pit. Multitudes of people are waiting, but they do not know what they're waiting for. Now, this waiting may mean struggling. It does mean struggling, but it leads to being delivered from the pit. I remember as a 9-year-old boy, under deep conviction for 3 days and 3 nights, that Wednesday night in revival services, when God saved me by grace, but not the Lord saved me. Brother Milby, I knew two things. One, that I was a sinner, and that Jesus is your only Savior. And by faith, I looked to Him, and the work was done. I know there are multitudes that make false professions that got absolutely nothing. I do remember the night I went home saved. And I remember the first morning I woke up saved. And I've woke up every morning since saved. And there won't ever be a day that I won't be saved. My name is written in the book of life. I cried to the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, even as a 9-year-old boy, under conviction, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was afraid. I was scared. But the night the Lord saved me by grace, the burden was lifted, the burden of sin. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The reason lest any man should boast. Have you ever known a person who believes that we're saved by meeting the Lord halfway, by doing our part, and then He does His part, who does not want to boast about what they did? But God has so designed His salvation that all you can say is, "Oh, glory to the Lamb. The work is done. He inclined unto me and heard my prayer." Prayer. This is a deliverance from the guilt of sin. "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, a pit of noise." David probably had in mind those pits that were sometimes dug to capture bears or lions or even thieves and robbers. It was a pit that was a snare. I think it'd be a bad thing for a robber to fall in the same pit with a bear or a lion, but it is a bad place. It is a terrible place. And this pit was so shaped and so designed that every cry for help would echo and reverberate through that pit. How that describes the guilt of sin. Until God saves us, we're tormented by the accusation of doubt and fear and self-condemnation. But when God delivered us from the pit, there's therefore now no more condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation. And thank God, in my heart, there it is, ring a melody. God has done something wonderful and glorious in my soul. There's the darkness of the pit. Terrible darkness, horrible darkness. We were far off, away from God. Every man that is in sin and that is still in the bondage of sin is literally dead in trespasses and sin. And only God can resurrect those that are spiritually dead. The preaching of evangelism cannot do it. Nothing short of the mighty working power of Almighty God can raise a sinner who is dead in trespasses and sin. The darkness of the pit, the depth of the pit. Thank God His hand is not shortened, and His ear is not heavy that He cannot hear, Isaiah says. Such darkness, such depravity, such blackness. But there is not only a deliverance from the guilt of sin. There's deliverance from the grip of sin. He brought me up also out of the miry clay. Now we're told that the bottoms of these pits were covered with sticky mud or miry clay. And if a person tried to get out of that pit, he would only go down farther. The more he struggled, the deeper he got. And that is true of every sinner. All of our efforts could never deliver us from the pit of sin. And that is the gospel in a nutshell. The Lord Jesus left the glory of heaven in order to save us from the guilt of sin, but to deliver us from the grip of sin. And by His death, we are reconciled to God. I like what Paul said to the people of Thessalonica. You turn from idols to serve the true and the living God and to wait for His Son from heaven. When God saved us, He gave us the power to become the sons of God. He gave us the power to live for Him. He gave us the power to walk holy and righteously in this world. We've been delivered, thank God, from the bondage of sin, from the grip of sin. We have been delivered by the mighty hand of God. When we cannot get to Him, He came to us. As I said Monday night, it is not that we reached halfway up to God and the Lord reached the rest of the way down. No, He had to come to the bottom of the pit to get us, every one of us. We couldn't get out. Our sin separated us from God. It was such a distance between us and God that we could never have got to God. Our sins were like a sea that was so vast no man could ever cross. Our sins were higher than the Swiss Alps, that no man could ever scale the heights. But thank God, when we cannot get to Him, He came to us in mercy and in grace. As many times I've wondered, Lord, why did You save me? With our multitude that without God and could care less. I do not know, but I do bless and praise His name that He lifted me up out of the pit. He inclined into me and heard my cry and brought me up out of a horrible pit and placed my feet on the rock. Deliverance from the guilt of sin. This is a song of direction. And set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. The God that's in the Bible are always described as lost. They don't know where they've come from. They don't know what they're doing here. And they don't know where they're going. Those that are still in the pit can't sing the songs like we sang and heard tonight. They don't have that hope. Someday, we shall be like Him. Someday, we shall stand in His presence. They're in a world of darkness. They're one in a world of confusion without direction. But when the Lord saved me, He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I remember once when I was in college, I made a speech one day. They said we could choose whatever subject we wanted. And I chose to speak on the virgin birth and what it meant. Well, that didn't go over too good. And the professor said, "Mr. Winkler, did you know that if you spoke like that in some circles, they'd cut you off?" But Brother Kenny, I didn't say it out loud, but I thought to myself, I'm not going in circles. I know whence I came, and I know whither I go. Jesus said, and I'm one of His, and I'm following Him, and I'm not running around in circles. Thank God I know where I'm going. And I know my breath will leave this body, that I shall arrive safely in Emmanuel's land. Thank God He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. The saints' position in Christ established my goings. Before the foundation of the world, God designed our salvation. And our hope is in the finished work of the Son of God. It means also the saints' progression in Christ. He established my goings. Oh, blessed thought, He leadeth me. One of the things, blessed things of being saved is to find and follow and finish God's plan in our lives. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know that I am going to someday arrive in His presence, and I know how, by the grace of God and through the blood of Jesus Christ, I follow a captain who never lost a battle. 2 Corinthians 1:10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. He has delivered us from sin's penalty. He delivers us daily, even from sin's power. And one day He will deliver us from sin's presence. John 5 says, 4:24, "Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life." That's present. Right now, present tense. "And shall not," that's future, "come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." This salvation is past, present, and future. And then this is a song of devotion. "He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Deliverance leads to direction, and direction leads to devotion. I have a song in my heart that Jesus gave. Now, I don't have the talent and ability to sing like many of you that blessed our hearts this week. I remember many years ago I was preaching in a jail service one Sunday afternoon. And there was one man that was in the cell that day. And I preached to him. And after I got through, witnessed to him about the grace of God, he was in for murder. And he said to me, "I want you to sing." I said, "I'm sorry, but I just don't have that talent. I'd love to." And he said, "I said, sing." Well, it was a murder, and I'd done what he asked me to do. And honestly, Brother Joel, the next day, he took a razor and tried to kill himself. Messed up my singing career. I don't have the ability to sing, But I have a song in my heart. It is a song of praise unto our God. He has delivered me from the pit. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And if you're saved, there is a note of praise in your heart to God. Saved, saved, saved by the blood of the crucified one. He hath put a new song in my heart. God did it. No person can ever take it away and remove what God has put in my heart. This is a song of worship. A new song in my mouth. Man's chief end is to glorify God. And therefore his greatest activity is worship. As a matter of fact, there's more in the Bible said about worship than there is service. Because you can't serve God unless you worship God. Unless you sit at the feet of Jesus, you'll never be much of a witness to this world. But if you sit at the feet of Jesus, you cannot help but to automatically radiate the grace and the glory of God. Thank God for the times that He lets us worship. I don't know that you can explain or define worship. But I do know this. I think if you're saved, you know when you've worshiped. And you know when you haven't. You don't have to ask anybody, did we worship or didn't we worship? I think we worshiped last night or came close to it. But I worship is something that we do and because of our gratitude to God. And as a result, that brings service. You cannot worship Him without serving Him. You can't sit at the feet of Jesus and keep a cold heart toward the things of God, toward His Word, toward His church, toward a world that is dying and perishing without God. We have a song in our heart. That put a song in my heart. Even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's what worship does. That's what happens when we sit at the feet of Jesus. When we express this praise and gratitude to God because of what God has done in our heart. There's a wonder that we have a song. I remember a time when I didn't have a song. I couldn't sing Blessed Assurance. I've often said sometimes I feel more saved than I do at other times. And I said that once and a preacher came up to me and said, tell me, how does it feel to feel saved? I said, it feels like Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Heir of salvation. Purchased of His blood. Born of His Spirit. Washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my soul. Praising my Savior all the day long. Thank God I've been delivered from the pit. I have a song in my heart. Even praise unto God. God did a wonderful thing in my heart. And I can't praise Him enough. And I'm ashamed that when I don't praise Him as I should. And I'm ashamed of my failure. But I know that God had put a song in my heart. Now the unsaved cannot sing. That is this song of the redeemed. This is the new song. They may even try to sing the new song. But there's no reality. They can't sing because they're not happy and free. They may have a great talent as an accomplished singer, but if they've never experienced the salvation of God, they have no idea what to sing about. Mr. Elvis Presley, people went crazy. He sang in one breath, nothing but a hound dog. And in the next breath, peace in the valley. But the Lord has saved us and He put a new song in our heart. And I have a song that the world cannot sing. of a song that the world knows nothing about. It is unspeakable and full of glory. Thank God He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. It takes almighty power to make a saint out of a sinner. As a matter of fact, Brother Joel, I have a song to sing. The angels can't sing. Now you have heard the song. When a saint dies, there's a brand new angel in the choir. Not unless God makes some more. God's created angels for His service. A special order. Special beings. A saint won't ever become an angel. And I'm grateful that I'm a saint. Now, I'm sure it'd be wonderful to be an angel. Have great power. To have a thought of being somewhere and being there. And doing all the wonderful things the angels of God are described as doing. But I have something that the angels do not have. I have a song in my heart. The angels have never been delivered from the pit of sin. They've never sinned. Except those fallen angels cast out of heaven. They don't know what it's like to be under conviction of sin. But I do. Amen. Now sometimes, if I think that if an angel were pastor where I were, that really wouldn't be so good after all. It might be good for a Sunday or two, but soon people would find out that angel never experienced what they've experienced. That angel never has the trials, the battles. That angel's never been delivered from sin because he's never been a sinner. I have something better than the angels, something the angels have desired to look into, and something they've been studying through the centuries, but they are no closer to understanding tonight than they were when they first started their investigation. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. I know what it means to be delivered from the pit. The angels have never done that. The angels cannot sing, saved by the blood of the crucified one. But thank God I can. I'm grateful to be a saint. I'd rather be a saint than to be an angel. I'd rather be a sinner delivered from the pit than to be an angel. The Bible is our songbook. And all the songs that we sing, if we sing in the Holy Ghost, will come from the Bible. Psalm 119:54. Thy statutes, Thy Word, the Word of God, in other words, have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. The wonder that we have a new song. It's always fresh. It never gets old. This wonderful thing that God has done for us in delivering us from the pit. The name of Christ still makes my heart leap. Sometimes I'm ashamed. I have to confess that my heart does not respond as it ought to. But there's still something about that blessed name that stirs and thrills my heart. There's no other name as dear to me as the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have a song, and we have a new song. A song that angels cannot sing. I put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. In 1876, December the 29th, Mr. Philip Bliss and his wife were traveling to Chicago. He was going to sing for Dwight L. Moody, the famous evangelist of those days. And the train that they were passengers of, crossing a bridge, wrecked, and the bridge collapsed in a blinding snowstorm. And Philip Bliss was finally able to crawl through the window and get out. He realized that his wife, Lucy, was still in the car that was on fire. And so he traveled back down through the window and back into the car. He said, "If I cannot save her, I'll perish with her." And both did perish in the fire. Both were 38 years old. A few days later, when his trunk arrived in Chicago, those going through their things found in that trunk the last song that he'd written. It had been written just a few days before he'd left for Chicago. The very last song that Philip Bliss wrote was this: "I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, bled from the curse that set me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how I lost the state to save. In His boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. I will praise my dear Redeemer, His triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory He giveth over sin, death, and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cruel cross He suffered, on the cruel cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. We have been delivered from the pit, and God has done a wonderful thing in our heart. Thank God I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. And He delivered me from a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going, and yet put a new song in my heart, even praise to our God. Many shall see it, and shall fear, and shall trust in the Lord." I believe it pleased the Lord. Brother Joel, if it stand just a moment. Brother Kenny, if you'd get us some number, let's stand quietly, prayerfully, and sing whatever may be on Brother Kenny's heart. If you're here tonight and the Spirit of God has spoken to you, you've never been delivered from this horrible pit, I want to say that the great physician is here, the sympathizing Savior, to meet the need of your heart. While we wait just a moment, while we sing, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. There's mercy and there's grace with the Lord. But even better than me inviting you, or Brother Joel, or Brother Milby, or some of these other preachers inviting you, the Spirit of the Bride say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. 260.